Welcome to Of the People with Robert Chernin and Erica Reddick. I'm your guest host today, Jay Shepard. Robert was looking for someone to come in and co-host the show. He couldn't find anyone good, so he went to me, knowing that I could talk for an hour and make a little bit of sense, and hopefully you'll stay with us. Robert is somewhere in the world, you know, espousing the exceptionalism of America and what it means to be an American and how we need to revert back to our roots. And the one thing I wanted to talk to you today about and to get the show started was over the weekend, we celebrated Easter, where those of us who believe in the resurrection of Jesus were involved in praying and in church going and all of those. And during the weekend, the White House decided they would have an Easter egg roll to celebrate Easter. Well, I think those of us who know what Easter is know that it's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about eggs. It's not about rolling, even though there's some within our faith goes back to the importance of what eggs are and what the rabbit means and the bunnies mean. But one of the things that troubled me very much at that point was when he decided to send out an invitation for the children to draw paintings and have artwork. And on it, it says, make sure there is nothing on it with religious symbols or any overtly religious themes. So we're going to have Easter, but we're going to tell the children there better not be any religious themes in all of this. And it got me to thinking about what's important and what is the foundation of our government? What is America made of and why is it the greatest country in the history of the world? And it comes back to our Constitution was based on natural law. And there's a lot of questions about what natural law is. And one of the themes that's really important is if we take a look at the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights, there was some argument over the Bill of Rights and what it meant. And it was pointing out those rights and their natural rights based on natural law. But one of the places that we tend not to look at is the Ninth Amendment. And one of the important things about the Ninth Amendment is, I'll read it directly to you. The Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So we spend a lot of time talking about the Bill of Rights. You know, the First Amendment, the right of free speech, the right to of religion, religious liberty. The Second Amendment, the right to bear arms will not be infringed. But the argument was that if we laid out what our rights are, it will never be a full list. And what the Ninth Amendment did is it stated very clearly that it is much more than just the previous rights, the Bill of Rights, that we have rights that are enabled by our Creator. And it looks more as a reflection of our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. And, you know, I've done a lot of research and a lot of reading regarding what natural law is and how it applies. But, you know, I'm kind of stealing some of the things from David Stedman and LaVon Lewis, who some of the things that they talked about makes it very clear and clarifies exactly what natural law is. And I start off by talking about William Blackstone, and he was an eminent jurist in England. And he went back to even the Magna Carta of 1215 and how it talked about inalienable rights. And one of his quotes that's very important says, man must necessarily be subject to the laws of his creator. This will of his maker is called the law of nature. This law of nature is, of course, superior to any other. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And such of them are valid derivative, all of their force from the original. And what the founders did not establish the Constitution for the purpose of granting rights. Rather, they established this government of laws, not a law of government. It's not a law of men, in order to secure each person's creator endowed rights to life, liberty, and property. Only in America did a nation's founders recognize that rights through endowed by the creator as unalienable prerogatives would not be sustained in society unless they were protected under a code of law, which was itself in harmony with a higher law. They called it natural law. We're talking about going back to basic things like the Ten Commandments. We're talking about thou shalt not kill. They called it natural law, and such law is the ultimate source and establishment limit for all of man's laws, and is intended to protect each of those natural rights for all of mankind. So the Declaration of Independence in 76 established the premise that in America, a people might assume the station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled them. Herein lies the security of men's individual rights, an immutable code of law sanctioned by the creator of man's rights and designed to promote, preserve, and protect him and his fellows in the enjoyment of their rights. Our founders, and if you look over my shoulder, you'll see James Madison, who was the author of the Constitution, and they believed that such natural law revealed a man through his reason, was capable of being understood by both the plowman and the professor. And, you know, Blackstone had some interesting writers. And one of the things that he was a founder and he trained America's lawyers. And one of the things he said, for as God, when he created matter and endued it with a principle of mobility, established certain real rules for the direction of that motion. So when he created man and endued him with free will to conduct himself in all parts of life, he laid down certain immutable laws of human nature, whereby that free will is in some degree regulated and restrained, and gave him also the faculty of reason to discover the purpose of those laws. And so, you know, you talk about what are those laws, and Blackstone talked about such, among others, are these principles that we should live honestly, should hurt no one, and should render to everyone his due. You know, even Thomas Jefferson, in his one of his quotes, said, man has been subjected by his creator to the moral law, of which his feelings or conscience, as it is sometimes called, are evidence with which his creator has furnished him. The moral duties which exist between individual and individual in a state of nature accompany them into a state of society, their maker not having released them from the duties on their forming themselves into a nation. So one of the things that we take from all of this is that man's law is not something that we have to follow. You know, man's law, we look back at what Stalin was doing in the Soviet Union and what Hitler was doing. Man was making laws. You know, it's a way for us to come together. And, you know, America's Constitution is the culmination of the best reasoning of men of all time and is based on the most profound and beneficial values mankind has been able to fathom. You know, it is the most beautiful and wonderful work ever. And it struck off at a given time of brain and purpose of man. We should dedicate ourselves to rediscovering and preserving an understanding of our Constitution, basis in natural law for the protection of natural rights. Principles which have provided American citizens with more protection for individual rights while guaranteeing more freedom than any people on earth. And John Locke said, the end of law is not to abolish or restrain, but to preserve and enlarge freedom. We need to take a look at some of the laws that are out there and whether or not we want to preserve them. We want to make sure that just because man-made law, the right to abortion, for instance, does not mean it is right and we have to follow it. It is natural law that overrides what our Creator gave us, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I want to bring back Erica, who probably has more to say about this than I do, and we can follow up a little bit on what the Constitution means and why it exists and why following away from it and having new laws made by man are more important than the laws provided by our Creator.
You know, I love that you spelled a lot of that stuff out, Jay, and reminded people that our rights do not come from government. That is the one thing, you know, I just want to restate what you said. The United States was the first country founded on the idea then we have rights just for being born human beings, not because the government in its wisdom and grace granted them to us. And that's one of the things I think Lord Reddick says all the time is, I don't care what the Constitution says. You didn't have to write down on a piece of paper that I have the right to defend myself. That is a natural human response. And so when you're talking about natural law, it's almost like that's what you're talking about, this idea that these are the rights that we have. This is the natural way that we behave as human beings in the world.
Right. Unalienable rights granted by our creator.
Yeah, that means
specifically. And the Constitution is so important because it protects us from government.
Exactly.
And that's what it was intended for. It was not for government to rule over us. It was to protect us from government ruling over us, and that we are endowed by our creator.
That's why I thought it was so funny. Ketanji Brown Jackson, during what case is that, that's before the Supreme Court right now. That's the First Amendment question. And she was like, well, I just think that this is going to get in the way of the government being able to do what it wants. And I was like, yeah,
yeah,
that's literally the point. It's supposed to get in your way, KBJ, because you're clearly part of the problem.
She can probably has the Constitution memorized, but that doesn't mean she understands it. She doesn't understand how it was written, why it was written, who it was written for, and how it is a long-term bond to the American people that they will not be ruled by anyone but our Creator.
Well, you know, I love that you just said it that way too, Jay, because there was an agreement. Now, I did not sign the agreement, and I was not privy to the agreement as it was originally written, but there was an agreement signed called the Declaration of Independence documents. Okay, you got the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Constitution. That's the contract between the government and the governed. And now people like KBJ, AOC, how many other acronym names can we think of? They don't like our Constitution. They don't like our founding documents. They don't care that there was an agreement, right? And all of the laws of this country, all of the state constitutions and all of the things are based on this agreement that we made 250 years ago.
Yes.
And yet, and they also can't really articulate what they would replace it with if we got rid of it.
One of the things that goes back to that is the belief in a creator. So we have to go back to that concept that if you do not believe in God, then you probably believe you are God with a small g. So what they're saying is that because I don't believe in the creator, I don't believe that all men are created equal. And we can get into that a little bit about what equality is and what that meant, that all men are created equal. They believe that they can do anything that they want because they are on the same level as God. So they don't have to listen to a higher authority. They don't have to listen to our creator. They are the creator. And one of the big things that you talk about, all that you can talk about, is that there's this concept, and we're going to take a look at both Republicans and Democrats on this. And when sometimes people will say, I'm a self-made man. Well, the problem with self-made men is that they worship their creator.
Oh, themselves.
They believe in themselves and that they are little mini gods and that they are a creator of everything around them. You know, there's you have to go back and, you know, Barack Obama was taken to task for saying you didn't build this. And the Democrats have this big thing and all of that. You didn't build it. Well, the reality is we built it with the help of our creator, that the guidelines and the path that we took came from our creator. So did I build anything on my own? Of course not. But that doesn't mean I owe government anything for anything that I've developed and I've built. Was there help along the way from individuals and community? Yes, but not the government. The government does not make things. It does not bring things about. So we need to make sure that we take a strong look at the fact that we build things, but we do it as humans under God's auspices.
You know, Jay, this might be off topic, so feel free to sway me back in another direction. But you said something that I think is really interesting that I don't hear people talk about much. We have heard, and I don't know that this comes from Christianity. I don't know if this is part of the new like woo-woo spiritual crowd. Like, I'm spiritual, not religious, you know, whatever that is.
Where do you go to practice your spirituality?
Yeah, and who do you worship? Who are you asking for help? Who do you pray to? Right. Yeah. So there's a lot. You'll see what is that? You know, this like new age, we're going to call it neo-Christianity, where like Jesus isn't a part of it. And people say, like, I've heard over the years that, oh, God lives within us, right? And even we talk about having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so you'll have a lot of these spiritual people talking about themselves as if they are God, little g gods, mm-hmm. right? So, oh, sorry about that, guys. My phone just started randomly playing. Where do you think this idea comes from of like, or how does the idea of having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us move to I'm God?
Right. Well,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. In the Bible, okay. In the Bible, and in the writings of Christianity, there's a talk about there is Christ within each of us.
Right.
That if each of us possesses a piece of God within us, okay? But there is a separation between a piece of God within us and us being God. That God does not speak through us in a way that glorifies us. It speaks to us in an understanding that we need to care about our neighbors. We need to care about the things that are espoused in the Ten Commandments. And the first is, you know, worship God. There's one God. And we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So those are the basics behind it. You know, we've got this whole new, and I think you've had some tremendous people on your show before to talk about wokeism as a religion. Mm. Dr. Bruce Abramson. And I know that both you and Robert talk about it a lot and how they start worshiping different things. But it really comes down to they aren't worshiping anything different than themselves. So they believe that they are the supreme power and they are all knowing. And, right. you know, we have to take a quick look at who they are and why they are lost. And one of the things, you know, I speak a lot about the pro-life movement and all of that kind of stuff. And one of the things is that the Democrats have to understand that, yes, you've won the law. You're going to win probably in Florida that's coming up in November where they put it on the ballot again and they've done it in many states. That doesn't make it right. And what we need to do as a people is to limit the number of children that are killed by abortion. And it's not going to be about laws. It's not going to be about anything, but it's going to believe in the fundamental of thou shalt not kill. Mm. And it has to come back to a fundamental belief that life is valuable and that all life is precious. And so we go off into these wokeism things that make no sense, because what they're really trying to do is fill an emptiness that's inside them. And what they need to do is they need to dig deep and find that inner Christ that's within all of us and speak with that voice rather than a convoluted voice that makes no sense at all.
Oh, speaking of making no sense at all, socialism, y'all. Socialism makes no sense at all unless you are uneducated about history. But luckily, the folks over at ASIC, American Center for Education and Knowledge, are knowledgeable about history, and they've got a message for us about socialism.
Socialism. The goal of socialism is communism. The world is quite familiar with socialism and the horrors socialism has brought with it. It wasn't that long ago. Actually, it's still with us. Socialism creeps into government slowly until it's too late. Socialism, the big lie. Yes, it could happen anywhere. This educational video was brought to you by the American Center for Education and Knowledge and paid for by people like you who care about the future of our democracy. Please help us continue our work educating the American public and consider supporting ASIC by making a tax-deductible donation at asicfund.org.
Ooh, Jay the Shepherd. So I'm going to just start calling you Jay the Shepherd instead of Jay the Republican, because that's what your Twitter handle is.
All right. Well, we're speaking of that Twitter handle.
Yeah.
If you are watching this, I don't care if you're watching it on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, wherever. Like, share, and subscribe. You see it at the bottom of the screen. When you subscribe to YouTube and you subscribe to Rumble, that doesn't mean you have to pay money to do that. That's it doesn't right. mean you're committed to anything long term, but it lets you know that you believe in some of the things we're speaking of. And I just want to mention now that we're back on. If you're still watching, if I haven't scared you off and you were expecting more informative and more exciting show with Robert Chernin, and you're still here, well, thank you. Yes. And if you're sick of me already, one of the things you can do is go to YouTube, go to Rumble, make sure you subscribe, and go back and watch some of the shows where Robert was actually on with Eric. So there's an opportunity for you to, you know, really make a difference and learn some things that have happened in the past, because some of these old shows with the two of you on it are really informative. They're really great. They get into the nitty gritty of subjects. You know, we'll just, with me, you know, you get a little surface thing. You know, somebody once said, you know, you're an inch deep and a mile wide. you've had people on your show that actually have some depth of knowledge, and people can actually learn something.
Okay, you guys, don't let Jay lie to you, acting like that is not even true. That is not even true. In fact, go back and watch the episodes where we have Jay on as a guest, because you're great. We love you over here.
Well, I'm going to define myself a little bit if we have a moment to do that.
Oh, yeah, go for it. Do it.
You know, I am a Republican National Committee man for Vermont. I've spoken at a couple of national conventions, and everybody looks at me, and I used to be known as Jay the Republican, and Erica still calls me that. And everyone will say, well, you know, you're a Republican, so you believe in, you know, all these different things. Mm. Well, I want to clarify how that really works. Mm. The fact is that I am very pro-life, and that's why I'm a Republican. Mm. You know, I believe in religious liberty. Therefore, I'm a Republican. I'm not a Republican, and then I have to believe in some of these other things. Mm-hmm. It's because of what we believe in and what our core values are that makes us a Republican. Yeah. You know, we believe in a strong defense, that we're protecting our country. You know, we believe in the fact that we need small government. We talked a little bit about the Bill of Rights and protecting us from the government. That's what makes us a Republican. It's not that we believe in these things because we were part of a culture club. Who's the singer for Culture Club?
Oh, Boy George.
Boy George. I am not Boy George. I don't belong to the culture because I want to be popular and I want to be. I mean, try being, first of all, being a Republican in Vermont that goes to church every Sunday. I mean, we are a small minority of people out there.
Yeah.
We also want to talk about regulated immigration. And we believe that. That's why we're Republicans.
Strong borders. Well. Yep.
Strong borders. We believe in the Constitution, the right to bear arms. You know, and it bothers me these days when we hear people talk about, oh, well, you know, you're MAGA or you're a rhino or you're all of those things. There's a fundamental belief, and I just went over some of those things, that makes us part of the Republican Party. It's based on our beliefs and who we are. So it's really important that when we talk about the fact that we're Republicans, we talk about why we're Republicans, because you cannot be pro-life and be in the Democrat Party. These days, you can't even believe in regulated immigration.
Well, and that's worse.
Their party.
We're so divided now, and it's everyone has a purity test, and you know, Republicans are guilty of it too, right? You even yourself just now said, you know, you're MAGA, you're Rhino. Like, we get those are used as insults from our own party. And and so I think it's important what you just said, you know, because I oftentimes will say I'm a Republican or claim Republican or conservative. But those words almost are meaningless anymore because of our because of the way politics are. So it's, I love what you just did. You said, I believe in this, this, and this. And generally speaking, it's the, at least the Republican Party platform enumerates all the things that I think are important. Now, whether or not every Republican and every committee actually does what they should or what they say they believe, that's another story.
Yes. And we have to take a look at the depth behind that. And one of the things that I'd like to wake up one morning and know that it's my day to decide who's a rhino and who's not. You know, we see people coming into the party. They've been here for a week and they're deciding who's a rhino and who's not. Yeah. I hear people all the time, you know, talking about, well, this person is, it's not MAGA, so it can't be a Republican. Mm-hmm. Or this person, you know, is for this policy or that person. We've got a fight going on in Virginia right now over one of the congressional candidates, Bob Good, who's been a solid Freedom Caucus Republican. And we have people saying you're not pure enough because you supported DeSantis in the primary.
Oh, my God.
So we've got all this infighting going on. If we don't come together, you know, Bob Good is a great congressman. And we've got primaries going on all across this country within the Republican Party. And we've got outsiders coming in and defining who's a Republican, who's not, what's a MAGA, what's a rhino, all of those kind of things. And I want to state it very clearly right now. If you believe in the fundamental values that are in our platform of the Republican Party, take a look at it. It's online. You are a Republican. Are you going to agree in the exact wording of each of those items? No. But the fact is that the worst Republican in office in this country is better than the best Democrat in this country. Mm-hmm. And we need to wake up and we need to talk about that a little bit more than we have. So let's get behind Republicans. Let's not divide. Let's not criticize. And we've got too much animosity and too much anger going on towards fellow Republicans. Let's get over it.
That's what, Jay, it's so funny you said that. You just made me think in our most recent Generally Irritable episode, we were talking about the line in the Bible. Was it John? Now I'm turning to 13. I'm totally messing up the scripture. You know that.
Us Catholics don't follow these numbers as much as other faiths do because...
Here's the deal. Whatever it says, they will know you by how you love each other. And I'm paraphrasing. Basically, Christ said... or it was communicated that the world will know who the Christians are by how we treat each other. And I feel like that really needs to be translated into conservative politics, because how are we going to convince the 80% of this country that consider themselves independents? I think it's something like the largest voting bloc in this country is independents. Okay. So if we're going to convince the largest voting bloc to vote for us, and we're out there running around insulting our own team, calling people names, like anybody who talks bad about Ron DeSantis, unfollow me. I'm saying that. I don't even care. You can unfollow me, unsubscribe. Don't ever listen to me again. Because if you are going to go out there and demean and degrade the most effective governor in this country because of Donald Trump or something, like, just lose my number. You're not on the team. You are not on the team. And you don't care about winning. And you don't care about this country. You care more about your feelings than you do about getting things done. I don't have time for you.
You're absolutely right. And we need to come together. We need to understand the principles of what ASIC, your ad that you just showed with ASIC and talking about the evils of socialism. And that is where the Democrats are bringing us. And, you know, I wrote down some notes, a little bit of notes about what the Biden, AOC, the left followers believe. Okay. I mean, like right now on Easter Sunday, they believe more in the Easter Bunny and not the resurrection. You know, they believe in the tooth fairy, but they don't believe in parental rights. Okay? You know, they think it's okay to take a child's life, but they don't believe in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And even crazier, they believe that socialism, if it's done right, will work.
Yeah.
So because humans, in this fantasy world of, you know, Santa Claus, the tooth fairy, and the Easter Bunny.
We can and remake socialism. Man. Yeah, I mean, to me, Jay, socialism is on par with the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny. Because this idea that you can remake man, that we're somehow going to not be buttholes, selfish, self-interested, psychopathic, fill in the blank, because suddenly we're all just going to get along and cooperate. I mean, that is, I was going to say a word I'm not allowed to say on, I will get canceled for. But I mean, there is no time in history. You have no evidence, right? We're supposed to trust the science. There's no evidence that that's even possible. What are they thinking?
It's absolutely ridiculous. And going back to the fact that we are doing personal assassinations of our own people that agree with us on 90% of what we hold true and of value, that opening the door for others. Lord Benjamin is making some good points in terms of, you know, we're kicking people out of the party.
Yeah.
I mean, a high-level person in the Trump administration talked about Bob Good and said, when we're done with him, he'll be non-electable.
Why?
Because he supported DeSantis.
Oh, that is, see, this is why, and then this is why get me started. Okay. Okay. Why should we elect Donald Trump if he is tearing down other Republicans, good Republicans?
All right. Before we go to break, Erica, I'm going to tell you very simply, because in November, we have a binary choice. We can take the policies of Biden or the policies of Trump, and the policies of Trump will be what works for our country and makes us a better country.
Yeah.
The policies of Biden take us closer and closer to socialism, communism, and all the evils around the world. We are safer, both in our homes and in the world, under Donald Trump than we are under Joe Biden.
Love him or hate him,
you absolutely have no choice in this country. If you care about this country, if you care about the Constitution, if you care about your way of life continuing and what's going to happen to your children and grandchildren, it's a binary choice. Don't tell me you're going to write somebody else in because they have no chance of winning. Don't tell me you're going to vote for RFK, who is trying
total
to live
lefty. Sorry.
Totally living on someone else's name that maybe accomplished something 60 years ago, but he has no accomplishments of his own. And we need to move on from those people that think they can do better than what our Constitution and what natural law is for this country.
That's right.
So I'm saying it very, very clear to people. You have a binary choice.
Yeah. Okay? You're not allowed to say, no, are you sure there's not? It's not like 40 options for president. Like there's 40 options for my gender. Are you sure? You know, you don't want to alienate people, Jay, by saying things like binary.
I don't even know what the word gender means. Okay? You're a male or a female. That is your sex. Okay. Get over it. All right. If you're not sure what you are, look in your underwear. The decision has already been made for you. Get over it. So
speaking of not knowing what your gender is, I would love to hear your thoughts on the Transgender Day of Visibility over at the White House on Sunday.
Well, I think, you know, the whole conflict there is, I think I need to be, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this.
Yeah.
I don't know what transgender visibility is, because most of the time when I see somebody who's transgender, it's visible to me what they are and who they are. I think it's really important that we love our neighbor and we care about them. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that when we look at someone, we understand the struggles that they are going through.
That's right.
And the things that have made life difficult for them. But for President Biden to come out and basically denigrate the most important day in our culture as Christians, Easter, and denigrate it by making us spend time talking about something that is not about Jesus and the resurrection is really despicable for me and for my understanding. So that's a quick rundown on that. So I can't hear you any longer, Erica.
I'm muted because I coughed. I muted myself. We've got the proclamation. No, wait a
minute. Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah. Just
a quick question.
Yeah.
When your husband, does he have a mute button for you, or does he, you know, you control your own mute button?
I control my own mute button. Why? Can you mute me when you're producing? You can? Yeah, he can mute me.
I was thinking more in real life, like at home, if there's some type of...
Oh, yeah. No, occasionally when I'm, you guys, when I'm all wee-weed up, as Obama would say, when I'm all wee-weed up and I'm getting out of hand, Benjamin will look at me and he goes, shut up. Could you just stop talking? Could you? I know when he does that, like I'm in trouble. Like that's when I go, okay. I got to chill out. I'm probably being the butthole right now.
He's a much braver man than I am. Where I live, I don't think in 37 years I've ever said that. And if I have, I paid the price for it.
Oh, no. I definitely deserve it. I need a big, strong man who will tell me to shut up. Because, y'all, if you've watched the show long enough, you know that I will go smooth off. And it's actually really helped me. Believe it or not, it's helped me not, like, learn when I'm overstepping my bounds and when I personally am getting out of control emotionally. Because for me, this is totally off the topic. I'm sorry. I'm sure this isn't where you wanted to go with this, but we as human beings are selfish and self-interested, right? That's a lot of what we've been talking about today. And it is so easy for any of us to go off the rails, to be lost, to be confused, to be hurt, to be emotional, right? When someone dies or something goes wrong. And you know what we can't have those people in charge of? The government. Like, we don't need a bunch of Joe Bidens who can't think clearly, who can't make decisions. We don't need a bunch of AOCs who, you know, are on the floor of Congress being like, I have feelings. We need reasonable and sane people.
Yes. One of the points that's really hurtful in this country right now is the fact that a lot of the congressional districts are gerrymandered, that it's winning the primary becomes the most important thing, that there are only, 30-something House seats that are up every year that are in districts, swing districts. And what happens is that you'll see a Twitter world out there, and you'll see people, it's all about number of clicks, it's all about the amount of money that you can raise by having a great one-liner. Speaking of that, if you do like this show, it's okay to send money in. I don't know if you have an address, Erica, but, you know, if we've ever said anything wonderful, I mean, we take a look at someone who's very good at it, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, she's a great fundraiser.
And she's a great fundraiser. She went after Mike Johnson and wants to get rid of him.
Yep.
And it was designed to raise money. So
wow.
If you can think of something great that I can say right now where people can actually send in money, you know, I've got grandchildren that, you know, want to go to college and all of that. So, you know, find me on Twitter, you know, let me know that you're going to ask me for my address and you can send cash. You know, they say don't send cash in the mail, but it's okay if it's for me.
Hey, you know what? Why not? Well, I did just have up our emails. So Robert's email, my email, if you guys want to check us out. You can also go to asicfund.org. You can find ways to donate there. Is ASIC a 501c3? Is it tax deductible?
It's a 501c3 tax deductible corporation.
Yes. So you can contribute to American exceptionalism with your dollars. Give them to the defenders of American freedom.
Yes.
America came into being based on a shared belief and a common set of values. Unlike other nations that were bound together based on common ancestry, race, or caste, we came into being based on a simple and shared set of ideals. That the power of government is based on the consent of the governed. That life, the freedom to live life on our own terms in our own way, free from government interference, and liberty, our most precious value, and the pursuit of happiness, which means we are free to pursue that which we choose with the knowledge and courage to know that nothing is guaranteed to us in this life. Those values, America was founded on these basic inalienable rights. Freedom to pray to God in our own way. Freedom to think and speak freely without fear of punishment or harm. And freedom to gather in our places of worship and in our local taverns. And freedom to defend ourselves, our families, our homes, and our neighbors as we see fit. The American Center for Education and Knowledge is dedicated to protecting American exceptionalism anywhere and everywhere it is threatened. ASIC is a 501c3 and depends on your tax-deductible donations. Please help us continue our fight.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a sponsor of this show, go ahead and email me or Robert, Erica at Coalition for America, the number for America, or Robert at Coalition, the number for America.com. And we can talk about being a sponsor. You get an advertisement. It's very fancy. And so before we get into our lightning round, make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the channel wherever you're watching. Give us a 5-star review. Give us a thumbs up. And make sure to leave a comment to help the algorithm, because you know big tech does not want other people to hear this message. So we need your support and we need your help.
Well, this whole lightning round, Erica, you know, I know that Lord Benjamin, your husband, producer of the show, is not afraid of you, but I am afraid right now of where this is going to go and what's going to happen.
I love it.
Just one other thing I want, you know, from the last segment that I talked about sending money to you.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, other people have talked about, if you really trust government, put $500 cash in the mail and mail it to yourself. That's a real test of faith. So if you want to trust the government and you want to know that you're going to get your mail, which is we've been doing mail for how long, you know, test the government. See how much you can trust them. I know you've written a book on, you know, trusting the government, but there's a real test for you.
I love it.
It sometimes, you know, it's kind of interesting that if you actually sent it and you mailed it in Washington, D.C., if you mailed $500, you'd end up getting $10 back because the government would take their share of it before it even got back to you. So, you know, trust the government, you know? We'll see how that works for you.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Give us all the details after they've robbed you of everything.
And I just want to make it, I think of it, and I know going off on a tangent, all of those things, I want to talk a little about taxes. So as Republicans, we need to lower taxes. We need to do that. Well, when you've got a majority of the people in this country making money off the government, reducing taxes is not a good campaign plan.
Not so much.
And there's a couple of good things that happen with that. So what they've done is they've done automatic withdrawals from your paycheck for taxes. So really very few people actually write a check for taxes.
Some of us
that own our own businesses, we're writing quarterly payments to the government. So we understand what taxes look like. Most people these days do not pay taxes directly.
That's right.
And when you say to somebody, so how much do you make a week? They'll look at their paycheck and they'll say, I make $432, when in reality they made $600 and the government took their share out of it.
That's right.
Well, they've also...
That's why they're trying to get rid of gig work. So that's a conversation for a whole other show. But the Biden administration, the Obama administration, they have worked to eliminate gig work, eliminate 1099 work. They want everyone to be an employee.
Right. And they also want to, you know, you to sign up for Venmo so they can track all of
correct
the revenue that you make. But in addition to that, not only are we not paying that, so even if you have a mortgage, what are your property taxes?
People don't pay their property taxes either.
They now escrow.
That's right.
I will ask people regularly. So, you know, it's April 15th is coming up, tax day, pretty soon.
Yep.
And I will say to people, so how much did you pay in taxes last year? And what's the most common answer? Oh, I didn't.
I don't know.
I'm getting a refund.
Oh, my God.
No one knows how much they really paid in taxes. All they realize is the government held my money for a full year and I'm getting around $2,500 to $3,000 back. So they've been using your money taking a large percentage of it and giving you a little bit back and making you feel good. It's like, you know, the dictators in South America, we're going to give you a free soccer. You'll be able to go to the soccer games free. Of course, we're going to tax you to death to get you there, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's very, as an accountant, Jay, as a person who does that for a living, helps people file and pay taxes and do 1099s and the whole thing, it drives me up a wall. It absolutely drives me up a wall. There is so much in place now to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, make it so people don't understand finances, don't understand their checkbook, don't understand money. And so they just are going along to get along, and they don't even business owners aren't stopping to think about where their money is going and how they're spending it and what the government is doing.
Well, maybe we should take one of those DEI classes and gender studies classes in high school and teach someone what a checkbook looks like, or teach somebody how to balance their budget, or know what happens when you use a debit card and actually keep track of money that you may have in the bank.
Yeah.
And what happens if somebody steals your debit card and they take all of your money and what you can do about it?
Exactly. So
we should start teaching some of those, and maybe you should start volunteering in the schools, Erica, because this country needs it. And instead of some of the things that we're doing to kids in schools, we should teach them how to understand money.
Be human beings. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So what have you got for me today, Mr. Shepherd? I know you said we were going to do a lightning round. We are going to talk. It's going to be like a mini Where's the Outrage?
Yeah, I think one of the things I want to talk to you about is what goes on Twitter, social media, all of those kind of things. I am not a big follower. I don't watch a lot of podcasts except of the people. And I know some of the wars that are going on out there. And I think you may know more about these wars than I do. Mm. And I think one of the things we're seeing is Candace Owens seems to be getting into some battles with a lot of people. She's had her battles with Ben Shapiro. Who I have some personal issues with as well, regarding his criticisms of Christianity and the fact that, you know, he thinks that Jesus was just another criminal.
Yep.
And so all of that. But, you know, Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro have had some issues with each other. Candace seems to have an issue with Steven Crowder these days, but she seems to have been kind of friendly with Kanye West and Nick Fuentes. So maybe you can enlighten us a little bit about what's going on over in that world of the Twitter wars. You know, I guess Ben Shapiro is the winner of Twitter wars because, you know, he's still doing well with the Daily Wire. And I think he has 6.6 million followers, and Candace only has 5 million. And Crowder, you know, is mired in the muck of 2.1 million. And I got to believe, Erica, with you having millions of followers, most of them aren't announced or they don't admit it publicly, but I'm sure you have millions of followers as well. What's your take on all of that?
You know, my take on all of this is everyone needs to just shut up. They all need to shut up. You know, earlier we were talking about how the circular firing squad of the Republican Party. Now we have the circular firing squad of conservative media. And you guys, there are not enough of us for y'all to be messing it up for everybody else. You're running around talking smack about each other, cussing people out, acting like babies, gossiping. You know, you're supposed to be the alternative to the crazy leftists. And now you guys are all running around out there with your feelings out. And nobody cares. I don't care. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care what you have to say. Just shut up and bring me the news. What is that? Shut up and dribble. That's the thing that was offensive that you weren't allowed to say before.
No, shut up and dribble was directly to LeBron James.
Oh, okay.
And his ties to China and all of that. You know, it's Barbara Streisand, shut up and sing. It goes the same thing with LeBron James, shut up and dribble.
Yeah. And the same with the shut up and talk about the news.
Well, there's a big price. Like, there's a big part of that that's really important to talk about. Is there is no news today? What it is if you look at like the Daily Wire, What are they? They are a national entertainment conglomerate. Nowhere does it say the news in what they bring to you. They are an entertainment source. And the problem is not so much with these entertainers, the Steve Bannons of the world and some, you know, Tucker Carlson and all these people. It's not about news. It's about entertainment. And the problem is those who follow these folks think they're getting news when all they're doing is being used for entertainment value. And there's nothing wrong with that, except the fact that it's about entertainment.
Yeah.
And so when you subscribe and you like some of the things these people say, don't accept it as news, accept it as entertainment. And speaking of that, if you like this show or you want to share it, subscribe.
Also, give us your money so that we can also be like Daily Wire.
That's right. And you know, when I hear Steven Crowder, you know, was offered a $50 million contract. And what was his comment about that? I'm not going to work for slave wages for $50 million.
Well, I mean, you know, his soon-to-be ex-wife is getting $25,000 a month in child support. So that boy needs to make some money. $300,000 a year goes to his ex-wife. So that's right.
Well, it's going to be more than that. But the fact remains, is Steven Crowder providing us anything that has $50 million in value? I have to say no. I have to say most of these people, we hear it all the time. You know, the rich get richer, and we hear Bernie Sanders talking all the time about, you know, the rich keep getting richer and these billionaires and all of that.
Yep.
There were, what was the number that just came out with Forbes today? 239 new billionaires on their Forbes list, including people like Taylor Swift and some other people. 239 new billionaires, and a lot of them are social media. A lot of them are content providers like that.
Okay.
So, you know, for us to sit and listen to these entertainers talk smack about people making big bucks outside of their world while internally they're bragging and they're all excited about it, let's keep things in perspective. And the sad part of it is, you know, the NBCs of the world, the ABCs, CBS, Fox News, they're not news. Okay, folks, they're entertainment networks.
Well, and that's the thing, Jay, is it's like, I shouldn't have to go watch a comedian's podcast to try to get better information than I can get from the outlets that are supposed to be actual news. Like, at least Louder with Crowder provides all of their backup. They provide all of their sources so you can go look it up yourself. And so you can verify whether or not they're talking smack. Have you ever seen Rachel Maddow do that? Have you ever seen Joy Reid do that? Why do I have to go to a comedian to try to get better news than the news? That's so sad.
And I think one of the things that you're seeing out there is those people on the social medias that are actually providing news and are breaking stories that are giving you the news that's unfiltered and I don't know how to say it, embellished. They're not getting the followers. People don't want news. Mm. They want reinforcement of what they already believe in. You know, one of the things, a friend of mine, you might know her, Ronna McDaniel, was recently hired and fired in, you know, 3 days' time.
Yes.
And it was one of those situations where they realized that she might provide news that they didn't care to hear about, that was different. And basically the employees of NBC decided what America gets to listen to and what they don't, rather than management, number one.
But the fact is crazy.
And there's some issues there. You know, of course, you want to vet somebody. You want to know what the story is going to be before you hire them. I think a lot of employers in this country have hired people and felt within a day or two that they made a mistake, that some people interview better than they perform. But it's symbolic of the fact that we've got people making decisions based on entertainment value when they purport to be the NBC News. MSNBC was supposed to be a news outlet. It's not. It's an opinion piece. So,
yep.
those are some of my rants. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of people. We're looking at the Trump campaign that's bringing in a lot of their old people that helped them win in 2016. I don't know where that's going. What are your thoughts on, you know?
Here's my deal is I just wish my team would stop sucking and shooting themselves in the foot. I really just wish they would. I think it's personally shameful that Laura Trump is in charge of the RNC now. There's absolutely no reason anybody with the last name should be with the last name Trump should be in charge of the RNC. Let's keep in mind that Donald Trump actually not only did not drain the swamp, but he elevated many swamp members. So he can now sit there and talk smack about Ronna McDaniel, but he got her the position, just like he elevated Fauci, who then helped lock everybody down and force them to take vaccines. Like, you know, I just as a Republican, as a person who calls themselves a Republican, as a person who has run for office with an R behind their name, donates money, donates time, I would like to know that the people in charge of my party are actually competent and capable of being fair to everyone who's a candidate, making sure that all Republicans have the same chance. And I just don't think that we're going to get that with the leadership that we have now. And oh my God, did you? Okay, I'm sorry. This is going to be me gossiping a little bit and being silly, Jay. Did you hear Lara Trump's song that she put out?
She's actually put out two songs. One of them was a remix of my theme song that I
won't back
in.
Down. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you to.
But I think
it's so bad.
Focus. Well, for me, the biggest part of that is when she came into office and as we voted her in as co-chair of the RNC, I'm one of the 168 that are members of the RNC. The focus of everything was to get Donald Trump elected. I'm not so sure where cutting records is a focus that we need to be doing right now. I don't know if she's selling the albums like they're selling, you know, the Bible, the Trump Bibles that are out there. I don't know if it's part of, you know, you buy the Bible and you get half price on her single. So I'm not sure how they're using it for fundraising, and I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble for something like this.
We're going to get in so much trouble. But I don't care, though. This is the thing. This is part of the problem. We need to be able to talk about this stuff without, like, if we cannot be honest and call out the stupidness, the foolishness, the corruption, whatever it is, okay, if we can't call out what is true, then we're no different than the people that we say we're fighting against.
Yes. Well, let me ask you that, speaking of truthfulness, I have this challenge for you, Eric. I know you ran for Congress as a Republican.
Okay.
And, you know, I do messaging for a living. Yes. And I'm just wondering if you wanted to be truthful in your advertising, whether you would have won if your slogan was a little bit different. If you would have just followed through with the honesty I just heard you talk about, and your campaign slogan is, "We suck less than the Democrats." It would have been a campaign theme that you could have run on that might have made a bit of a difference.
I mean, Jay, that is not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Have you workshopped that with anybody yet?
You know, I have not. You know, I've talked about it a little bit, you know, and when people criticize me, you know, it's my go-to. You know, I may be bad. I may suck, but you know, it's relativism, and I suck less than you. It doesn't mean I'm going to get to heaven before you, because that's a whole different set of metrics.
Yeah.
But the fact in politics, sometimes we just want to say, you know, vote for me because I'm not very good, but I am so much better than the Democrats. So let's go with that campaign theme. And if you're a candidate out there looking for messaging, you know, check in with me. It's, you know, I'm on Twitter. Jay the Shepherd One, share, subscribe, all of those kind of things. And I can give you messaging help that can be more relatable to your campaign the way I just think I helped Erica here with "We Suck Less Than the Democrats" campaign theme.
I can't even handle it. I'm sorry. I can't even collect myself. I gotta like try to close the show. I can't stop laughing. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why Jay Shepherd is known as the Message Master. I love it. Jay, thank you so much for filling in this week for Robert as our host. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you. Stop the fire.